The Epiphany is a feast day about God revealing himself. In the past, actually, wasn't just about the visiting of the Magi to the Holy Family. It was that, but it also celebrated two other epiphanies, two other revelations. One, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, and also the wedding feast at Cana. See, all three of these events are epiphanies. They're light bulb moments. They're when we recognize who God is and when God reveals himself. There's some obvious ways in which God reveals himself throughout history, and obviously two of those are scripture and tradition. And as Catholics, we know those are solid experiences of God revealing himself. But we also know that he expresses his truth and proves that truth through other ways, universal ways. That's really what Catholic means, is universal. So we can come to know God, yes, through scripture, through tradition, but all people can come to know God through some other universal ways. Over the next three Sundays, I'll be preaching a series of homilies that will all go together. And it's going to be about the epiphanies of God, how God expresses himself, and the not normal ways that we think about as Catholics. So the three are the natural world. The second one is other cultures, so the diversity of cultures in the world. And the third is through beauty and art. So the first, today, the natural world is God's creation. And if we look closely enough, we can see the Creator's hand. Science is different from the Bible or church tradition. Bible and church tradition definitely speak about supernatural things. And science is the study of material things. But that doesn't mean they're in contradiction. If God created the universe, then the study of the universe cannot help but show us a shadow of the Creator. And when we encounter God's creation, we should see his face. Right? The beauty of the ecosystem and how it works together. The heights of mountains, the depths of the sea. Right? The universe, the stars, our solar system. And we heard about a star in today's gospel, the star of Bethlehem. Have you ever wondered what that star actually was? You know, beyond the little books we read, like what was happening on that day or at that time? There have been many theories over the years. Some think it was a comet or the convergence of two planets, right? Like we just saw Saturn and Jupiter. Well, I didn't see it. I don't know about y'all. I went outside and I was like, well, okay, I didn't see that. other people said they saw it, but... Or some choose to stick with the literal interpretation of Matthew, that an apparition of a star literally went before the Magi and hovered over the manger. And as Catholics, it's not defined exactly how this happened, so we're free to speculate. I recently read, though, a theory that made the most sense to me, and I think it's beautiful because it engages the natural world, that God used secondary causality, that he used the universe and the stars and the planets in a particular way, in a particular time, to tell us that he was showing up. Okay, so this theory necessitates that we, as the readers of scripture, understand the original language, and not just that, but the time period. What did the people reading Matthew's gospel hear when he said these things? And the two phrases are the rising in the east and the part where it said, and it stood still over the place that the child was to be born. See, these are both very specific and technical astrological terms in the Middle East. And they describe the moving of the planet. See, even the word planet is Greek for wandering star. Because to them, you had the regular stars, they were fixed pretty much. But the planets being in our solar system, they're moving. So a wandering star is a planet. When astrologers saw a planet rise over the horizon, they said the star had risen in the east. So that phrase meant to them at the time. The Magi could have, after reading the Old Testament prophecies, been waiting for a sign and seeing a planet rise in the east over the horizon, set out to the place that the prophecy that they already knew where the Messiah was going to be born. It says in Scripture, and they were reading this, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." So people knew or were expecting, and the Magi were expecting, so the Messiah is going to come in Bethlehem. And the planet, the rising in the east of the planet, just sparked their journey. Like, it's time, let's go. And then after months-long journey, when reaching their destination, that planet or wandering star would have stood still in the sky. What does that mean? Well, an astronomical term, standing still, described when a planet seemed to stop its trajectory across the sky over months, and then move backward in the night sky due to its position in the solar system in relationship to Earth's rotation around the sun. I don't begin to know what that means exactly, but I know it's pretty cool. And and what it said to them was, at this time, in this moment, this prophecy is being fulfilled. See, God can use what's already happening in the universe in a particular time to speak to us. I want to reiterate here that none of this is definitive teaching. It's just a possible explanation. None of it definitely proves the deposit of faith, the things we believe. But I like thinking about it and talking about it, because in looking at these types of things where the faith meets science, we can possibly see God's hand. We ought not to be afraid of understanding the world, understanding nature, science, as Catholics, because to reject science, to reject reason, is to reject God, because he created the world. He created the laws. And some of the greatest scientists in history were Catholics. Albert the Great was a saint. St. Albert the Great was one of the first scientists in the Western world. There's a monk, an Augustinian monk named Gregor Mendel. You probably heard about him. You didn't know he was a monk, maybe, but he's the father of modern genetics. Right? He postulated the theory of recessive and dominant genes by planting pea plants and interbreeding them. It's pretty cool. My favorite, though, to talk about is Father George Lemaître. Well, Father George Lemaître is a Jesuit priest and an astrophysicist. Jesuits are pretty smart. Our Pope's a Jesuit. And he came up with a theory. You know it as the Big Bang Theory. Not the TV show. Right? He came up with a theory that all matter was in a point of singularity and then exploded out. And that is our universe right now, expanding. Again, I'm not an astrophysicist, so I don't know what that exactly means. But mathematics and physics have proven this theory. And George Lemaître, Father George Lemaître, was not afraid of it. Whatever is written in the universe and its laws, its mathematics, is of God. And so it's an expression of God's glory. See, none of these people, Gregor Mendel, Albert the Great, George Lemaître, none of them thought they needed to stop studying the universe because they were believers. They instead saw a great unity and relationship between the two. Because as David said, all the way in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he said, "The heavens are telling the glory of God and the marvelous display of his craftsmanship. Day and night, they keep on telling about God." So the universe, the stars, the moon, the sun, the seasons, just like we chanted, the movable feasts in relationship to the seasons, tell us about the glory of God. I'll end with a quote from Blessed Nicholas Steno. He's a scientist, a saint, a bishop of the church. He's the father of modern geology. He studied the earth stratification, so that the older layers are on the bottom, and he's actually one of the first to kind of prove that the earth is more than 6,000 years old. Again, wasn't afraid of that. He said this, he said, beautiful is what we see. More beautiful is what we know. The most beautiful by far is what we don't know. So I invite you to come next week as we look at other ways that God reveals himself to us in ways that we don't normally think about in other cultures and other people.